for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be continuing. Some of you may have been here when we kind of started and then stopped, and then now we're starting back. The sermon series on dangerous prayers. I believe that for many of us, myself included, that our prayers are too safe. And I'll be honest, I pray a lot of these safe prayers even today. I prayed during the Christmas time. I definitely prayed for a parking spot. Amen. And God opened some doors. I'm going to be really honest with you. There were moments where I would drive around Columbus Park Crossing especially, and I'd be like, Lord, can you just please not make me have to park four blocks away to get to Ross right now? And a parking spot would come open, and I would just praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you. But that's a safe prayer. Many of us pray, you know, God bless me. And while that's a good prayer to pray, it's still very safe. And then my favorite safe prayer that we pray is when I was a youth pastor, we used to get all the students to like line up at the bus to take that like group photo. But we would always pray, Lord, give us the hedge of protection as we travel. And while that's needed, it's also safe. And what we know is followers of Christ, and if you read your Bible and if you're into the Word of God, you know that following Jesus was never meant to be safe. It wasn't. It was never meant to be safe. For us 90s kids and older, you are meant to be a Jesus freak. You're meant to be different. We're meant to be countercultural of sorts. We're meant to stand out because following Christ was never meant to be easy. It was never meant to be safe. It was never meant to be this thing that just lets you float on all the clouds. It was meant to be difficult. It's meant to be change the world. And it's meant to be different than what we see in the world today. And so I want to challenge us as we leave today to pray a specific dangerous prayer. We, in the first three installments of this series, we talked about the prayers of make me bold, speak Lord, make me bold from Acts chapter 2, speak Lord from Solomon's story, speak Lord for your servant is listening, and then break my heart from our good pal Jeremiah. And those were great prayers, and I hope ones that y'all have taken on as dangerous prayers for yourself, to ask the Lord to make you bold in all situations for the faith, to ask God to speak to you, so you can hear his voice and know where he's calling you, know what his will is for your life. And then also break your heart, because I've never been moved, like I said last week, I've never been moved to change or to do anything based on comfort. It's always been when God has challenged me or my heart is broken for something. And then today, I want us to challenge ourselves to pray the dangerous prayer, search me, O God, search me. So, before we begin this dangerous prayer, let's pray a different prayer very dangerously. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as I've said a moment ago, may you be made much of. May you fill this space. May we leave different than we walked in. May we come alive in you. Lord, I just pray for every person under my breath that they may experience life anew in the name of Jesus. This man does not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that comes from your mouth. So feed us today, O bread of heaven. It's in the name of Jesus I pray all these things. Amen. So this prayer, search me, comes from David. It comes from Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. And David at this point in life is kind of latter part of his life, but he's faced persecution. He's faced persecution by the enemies of God. He's faced, ultimately, individuals have come before him, and they're claiming that he has not been a faithful follower of God in a lot of different ways. And so David's response is writing this psalm, and he actually writes this dangerous prayer essay. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, it says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think this passage of Scripture has four specific pieces to it of what David is praying. And the first one I want to talk about is search my heart. Search my heart. Says in that first part of verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. So I think first we have to allow God the opportunity to search our heart. What's interesting is that we live in a culture that believes that we are just naturally good-hearted people. I've lived my entire life where I loved on the old ladies at church growing up, or I cared for people very deeply. I have a kind heart. I think I'm very kind, where people would look at me and they'd be like, that's such a good-hearted boy. Can't tell you how many times I heard that, even as like an adult, and I'm like, I'm a man. But I've been told that I'm a good-hearted boy or I'm a good-hearted kid, or y'all have probably heard that spoken about your kids or people around you, like, oh, they just have such a good heart, or, oh, I'm gonna go see that, I like that celebrity because he's such a good-hearted person. In reality, we don't have a good heart. In reality, we are deceiving ourselves. Much like Jeremiah says in chapter 17, he says this, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Jeremiah's coming for the throat punch here. He's just saying, your heart is deceitful of all things. It's desperately wicked. Matter of fact, I can prove it to you. How many of you are liars in the room? Hold your hand up. Hold them up high. Let's be proud about our lying here for a minute. Just kidding. Don't be proud about it. But if you hold your hand up, if you don't see somebody who has their hand up, you can look at them and say, ha ha, liar, liar, pants on fire. We are all liars. We are all liars. We are. Let's just be really honest. Let's be a hot church, humble, open, and transparent. We are liars. And the way that I know this is because the most common lies are the lies that we tell ourselves. The most common lies are the lies that we tell ourselves. I wake up almost every morning and I tell myself, Andy, it's okay to drink that one cherry Dr. Pepper a day. It's only going to boost your figure. Like, these are the Lord's calories in the morning. You can work them out all day long, whatever it may be. That's me deceiving myself. That's not a good thing, putting all that sugar in my body like that. It's not, but I'm deceiving myself. Or maybe you say, hey, I'm not materialistic. I just really like nice things. Or I don't have an anger problem. I just have road rage. Or I'm not a gossip, but I love hearing about people's lives and their drama just so I can pray better for them. Like, let's be honest. How are you deceiving yourself? I'm not critical of others. I just think that they're dumb. Or, well, you know, we've heard this before where you're like, I'm not mean. I'm just honest. Let's be real here. You're deceiving yourself. You're definitely lying to yourself. You're not just honest. You probably are meanie bobini. And then finally, the one that I thought was actually funny, and I had to talk to this young man in college, but it was a college ministry night, and he said, Pastor Andy, I was talking about us all struggling with sin and stuff like that, and he said, Pastor Andy, I don't struggle with lust. I just love a nice physique. And I said, dude, let's at least, like, come on, man. If it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Like, let's be honest here. And so what I realized throughout my life is that I've had to pray this prayer far more times than I actually want to. I've had to pray this prayer so God can just do the right things with my life and my soul and my heart specifically. And so I was like, God, search my heart. And what I found out is that in high school, I was given the opportunity to lead a small group as a high school junior and then a high school senior. And I would open up my home to have these group of guys come in and we'd talk about the Bible. And honestly, it probably was not led very well because I think I just like flipped open that exact Bible that I read from earlier to like a random passage. And I was just like, hey guys, like, let's talk about this. Or I remember specifically we walked through the Psalms and we were like, where do we see God in this passage? Where do we see humans? And what I realized, praying over, God, search my heart, like what's going on after reading Psalm 139, I realized that I was faking it. I was faking it. I was trying to be the best speaker of Christianese that I ever could be. I was trying to just pretend to be this great Christian, but I never really knew Jesus relationally. And so I realized that I was faking it, that God had to reveal, search my heart, and reveal that I was putting on a show, that it wasn't authentic. Why did I not know Jesus? Why did I not authentically care about him? And things then began to change in my life. And so what you see is you see this in David's message. You see where David is sharing in this passage, in this prayer, search my heart, God, search it. You know, search the thing that's deceitful for me. Search me at my innermost being. And then number two, he says, reveal my fears. Reveal my fears. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And so, church, I ask you today, what makes you anxious? What makes you anxious? What brings up fear in your life? And I'm not talking about snakes and spiders, or for those of you who have been home alone one time and you were taking a shower and you were afraid if you pulled back the shower curtain that someone's going to be standing there. Like, whatever crazy fears you may have, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about, do you have a fear of like maybe you're never going to get married? Or do you have a fear that you're going to be stuck in a bad marriage, that your spouse will never really love you like Christ has loved the church, or that your spouse will never, you know, that you're going to be miserable? Have you ever had this fear maybe of rejection or a fear of failure? Or I've met some people that are afraid of success, so they always strive a little bit less. Maybe you have a fear of loss, of losing someone. You know, what are your fears? What are your anxieties? Because what we've learned through the fears is this. Often what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. often what we fear the most is where it reveals where we trust God the least. You know, if you're afraid of losing your marriage, it's probably true that you don't trust God in your marriage. If you're afraid that something bad's going to happen to your kid, well, do you trust God that He is at work in your child, and that as your child goes to school or wherever they're going, that they are an embodiment of the Holy Spirit going into that space? Do you trust that? Or are you afraid and where you don't trust God in the midst of it? Or maybe you're afraid that you don't have enough, and so therefore you don't trust God to be your provider. Whatever it may be, many of us, whatever we fear the most is often where we trust God the least. And so what I've learned in my life is that through a series of asking these same exact dangerous prayer questions, you know, God, search my heart, realizing that I was kind of faking it for a while, at least latter years of high school. And then even as an adult, as I got into ministry, I asked God to reveal some things about me, reveal my fears. And what I found is that I had an extreme fear of failing. And it wasn't necessarily like I hated failing, because I've read the Steve Harvey books about failing forward. I mean, I've read those things, to be honest. And I like the idea of failing forward. Like, you fail, but you learn, you know, whatever it may be. But I realized that it's not that I just fear failing. It's that I fear letting others down, or I fear being inadequate. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, that's very hard, because I'm not going to please everybody. I'm going to say something that's going to make somebody feel some type of way, though I may not intend it that way. Or I may not know that someone's in the hospital until 3 weeks after they've been in the hospital, and so I haven't visited and I look bad. I'm sorry ahead of time. I'm going to fail somebody. And so what it took was God revealing this in me, that this is a fear of yours, Andy. And said, are you going to trust me in the midst of it, or are you going to continue living in that fear? And so what I learned for myself is that I have to love pleasing God more than I fear failure. I have to love pleasing God more than I fear whatever it may be. And so the same is for you. You have to love pleasing God above whatever those fears are. You have to love God more than the fear. And see, there's Bible verses about this, I'll tell you. For me, there's perfect love casts out all fear, or there's God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of truth and everything else there. I mean, there's scriptures all about it. But the reality is, when rubber hits the road, you've got to get to a place where you're practicing this. Of God, I'm going to put you first before any fear. I'm going to always place you before the things that are ahead of me. And God, search my heart and find those things and begin to unearth those, so that way I can then deal with it. And so you've got this. David is very smart in what he's saying here. He's saying, God, search my heart. God, reveal my fears. And then he goes even a step deeper. He says, uncover my sins. He says in verse 24, see if there is any offensive way in me. See, this is hard for us to realize, because whether you want to admit it or not, we all have some sin. We all have some sin that God probably needs to bring to the surface. Some offensive way. I'll tell you, one for me is I get road rage. And I don't get road rage where I say, like, you know, bad words or anything like that, but I sure will have my kids in the car with me driving down the road, and someone will do something that's against the rules in my head. And I'm going to be like, oh, you think you're so special, you know, or I'll let them kind of have it. And I have a great example of this. If any of you live in the Midland or Ellerslie area, you can probably agree with me here. The worst traffic decision in all of Columbus, Georgia, that they did for about 6 months was when they were changing up from getting on off of Manchester Expressway onto J.R. Allen Parkway, and they made that right turn a two-lane road for all of 6 months. And what was bad here is that everybody would get in the left lane and they'd zoom around you in that right lane, and no one had any patience. But there was one morning I was headed to take my kids to the daycare, and I was in the right lane, and there was a person in the left lane, and we were stopped at the red light because we are law-abiding citizens. And this next individual decided to pull off on the shoulder of the road and just pass us all to get to Tractor Supply, because their dog food was way more important or whatever than just waiting in line. I mean, it was one of those moments for me that I was like, like, come on, you think you're so important. You know, one of those awful moments for me. And what was hilarious is God loves to laugh at you, I think. Because the very next day, if not a couple days later, I am taking my children to daycare, and they go to St. Mark's CDC, so Child Development Center. And St. Mark has this really cool thing where if traffic is blocked in both directions, St. Mark has a plot of property that's right next to it called the Gill property, and they own it. And at the time, I was serving that church as their associate pastor. And so it just so happened that the lines were backed up of people blocking the street, trying to turn, do whatever they're doing. And I just thought, well, this piece of property belongs to St. Mark. I work at St. Mark, so it's kind of like my piece of property. And so the second that I decided to make my decision of pulling off into the grass to drive around the stopped people, and I realized I am the same as that ding-dong I got mad at 2 days ago. So what I realized is, gee, is God, reveal any offensive way in me. Reveal whatever it is that sets that is setting me apart from you. Make it obvious. And so I have a couple questions you might want to ask yourself in this. You know, number one, what are others trying to tell you? If you have people that are coming up to you and they're saying, hey, you know, I see this problem or I see something about you that I just want to cause attention to because you follow Jesus and I know that this is not what your intentions are. What are others trying to tell you? For me, I've had that happen a couple of times in my life where a group of people have come to me about certain issues and I'm like, man, this is not the first person to tell me this. I really need to address this issue. Or what have you rationalized for some time? You know, what have you said that's okay that's really not okay? I was joking earlier about making the comment of, I'm not mean, I'm just telling the truth. But reality is, are some of you rationalizing that? Do you just call yourself a blunt individual? But in all reality, you're not approaching people with grace and kindness. Or the last one, and this is where it gets, this is the one that gets me in trouble. And I think there's a slide for these. So the last one is, where am I most defensive? Where am I most defensive? What, when people bring to your attention, are you just a stone wall to? I don't act like that. I don't want to, you know, I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. Whatever it may be, maybe that's an area for you that God's trying to reveal some pride or some sin of some sort. So maybe those are some questions you want to ask yourself. You know, do you have pride? Are you materialistic? Do you struggle with lust? Do you have addiction? Do you gossip? Are you critical? Are you disobeying in some way? You know, what are the things that God's going to reveal to you? And will you allow him to reveal it? And then finally, David is so smart. And this is probably why he's a man after God's own heart. Is he says, search me, O God. Reveal my fears. You know, open up, uncover my sins. And then finally, Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. He says, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, lead me. I cannot change these things without your leading. I cannot move in the right direction without your guidance. To keep with the Christmas theme that we just passed, Lord, be my Rudolph for a minute. You know, lead the way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Because in reality, folks, we can't do this on our own. We require the grace of God. We need God to be in the midst of it. And so what David is praying here is an extremely dangerous prayer to not just say, God, search me and unearth all of these things, but he's also saying, God, I trust you to lead me to solve them. I trust you to lead me in the way everlasting. I trust you to lead me in a path that is for your righteousness and your namesake. And this is amazing to hear because I am not going to be able to do it for any of you, and myself included. But praise God, he's good enough to lead. And so I lean into his leading as this great, dangerous prayer. And so will you pray with me this week, this month, for the rest of your life, if you will, this exact same prayer that says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we desperately need you, Lord. We do have deceitful hearts. I pray that you search us and make those things known, revealing us our anxieties, or really, God, revealing us the fears that we are holding above you, revealing us the ways in which we may not trust you, and Lord, revealing to us how powerful this train is that's about to come right behind us. Lord, I thank you for being a God that's faithful. I thank you for your all praise that is due to you. And God, I just praise you for what is to come. It's in the name of Jesus I pray all these things. Amen.